You are Locked On Wolverines, your daily podcast on the Michigan Wolverines, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
It's Thursday. It's late Thursday. Sorry for the delay. Getting ready to go to Indiana to go see Michigan versus the Hoosiers on Saturday. But this is the Locked On Wolverines podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where it's your team every day. I am your man on the ground, Isaiah Hole, publisher of Wolverines Wire through USA Today Sports Media Group. And yeah, Thursday, leaders and best. Mailbag. So let's start with our leaders and best. I know that there is some anger to this, and it's deserved in Michigan's direction. James Crudup, 6. James Crudup. I can't see Edwards looking at the running back situation as a positive. Getting 5 to 6 carries per back can't be that enticing. Your thoughts? How do you see Damani Jackson and Will Johnson looking at the corner situation? Do they look and have worries, or do they see early playing time? How much do you think that loss really affects recruiting for Michigan? I feel like if they rebound, the effects can be minimized, but if it snowballs and the losses pile up and the hot seat rumors, multiple coaches get louder, it could really be a disaster. I think you nailed it on the end. They just have to rebound. As far as Edwards, listen, a guy like Edwards is going to see it as like, I'm different. I'm going to come in and I'm going to just be able to get into the rotation. I'm going to be able to make do, and I'm going to be the guy. I think that, you know, some of these guys need to be given a little bit more focus. I talked about that on the M Zone earlier today, which was part of the delay on the podcast. It took up the time that I would have done the podcast, but that's the thing. They need to find a way, I think, to say, hey, whoever gets the hot hand, we're keeping you in. Because I didn't like it from the beginning, the way that they've handled it. I mean, Zach Charbonnet, very first carry, gets a 70-yard touchdown, and then we don't see him for literally another 30 minutes of game time. To me, something's got to change as far as that's concerned. Hassan Haskins is the only one that seems to be able to run up the middle against Michigan State. Guess what he didn't do once he proved he could do it? He was not given the ball to run up the middle, and he wasn't out there nearly as much. They've got to figure out their personnel issues as far as that's concerned. Damani Jackson and Will Johnson. Right now I believe they're trending towards the school that you don't want to hear me say. Don't know that. I mean, it's still really early, so there's plenty of time. Not only even if they do end up pledging to Ohio State. And I don't have inside info. That's just the tea leaves that I've kind of seen around. But and Will Johnson, I thought that Ohio State and I don't know the other school, but mainly Ohio State seemed to be the big threat. I don't think he's your typical Michigan legacy that he's like, yeah, I just grew up rooting for Michigan. But there, you know what? It's way too early to know or to panic on either of those guys. But Damani Jackson definitely seems like he's trending away from Michigan. But as far as if they were to get here, I think, yeah, they'd have early playing time. Potentially. I mean, there's still some guys that, you know, it's just they have to develop. Darian Green-Warren, Andre Selden, DJ Turner. We saw a bit of Jalen Perry before DJ Turner, surprisingly. Jalen Perry being on the scout team last year. Anyhow. Josh Barajadicki, quick. Which knee-jerk reaction is worse from the UM fan base for you to deal with? The bandwagoning and insane expectations after an inciting win, or the incessant whining after an unexpected loss with the demands to fire everyone? Easily the second one. Easily the second one. I prefer the bandwagoning. Because, number one, that means more people are excited, and my job's way more fun when people are excited than when people are upset. People like to listen to everything. People like to read everything. I don't get, like, pushback for everything I say. I'm actually not getting a lot of pushback for everything now, but I mean, like, last year with the after the Army game, I had some conversations with some people that knew what was going on, you know, inside the minds of the Michigan people. And I shared that with people after the game, and they were just like, no, Harbaugh took over. And it still happens, right? Like, I'm still seeing people saying that. It was Gattis. The whole Army strategy was Gattis. But that's what happens when you have young coordinator. And I largely agreed with the premise, right? I largely agreed with the idea that you run the ball, you keep the ball out of Army's hands. The problem is you need first downs. And some people are saying that type of thing again now after the Michigan State game, that Harbaugh took control back over. No, he didn't. So that's the thing, is when it's the incessant whining afterwards, it's not just incessant whining, it's conspiracy theories. People that don't want to hear things. If I say you're not going to fire Jim Harbaugh now, even next week, like let's say he loses the next three games, guess who's not getting fired the next at any time during the 2020 season? Jim Harbaugh. It's just not happening. And people will be like, no, he's got to go. Or, you know, anytime that you post something that's got an opinion, you get lots of DMs of people telling you why you're wrong, which I don't mind, but it's, you know, I want to respond to those people. It just takes it takes time out of the day when I would normally be sitting there trying to work on getting you guys content that you hope to either, you know, read or listen to. My brother in metal, Michael Wolf at MWolf21. Michigan seems to find themselves in third and long quite often. What do you think the reason is, and what's your solution? Honestly, one of the reasons is because they're not winning on second down, which they're also not winning on first down. That's part of it. It's more the second and long than the third and long. They're actually okay at converting. I think they're 44% on the season in converting on third down, which is pretty good. But part of it's just they're not winning on second down. Why aren't they winning on second down? Well, because they're not winning on first down. What's an easy way to win on first down? Something that a lot of y'all don't like, again, running the ball. They've been passing a lot more on first down than they've done so in the past. I've always been a big believer, and I know it's old school football, it's not modern football, but I like running the ball on first down because then you usually can get into second and manageable. Usually. Not always, but usually. And if you're not, then you can figure out what to do on second down. You still have both things at your disposal. You can't do it. Like if you throw on first down and you miss, then you know you're in second and long. You're in second and long. And again, let's say you pass the ball because you're like, oh, we're in second and long. We don't want to run it. Or if you do run it, you know, it's, you're pretty much, you know, usually there's a lot of tells that can tell you it's a running play. Then you're basically setting yourself up for third and long. Running the ball on first down, I usually prefer it. It's just, to me, it's analytically, it tends to be the way to go. Unless you can have a for sure good play on first down. But I don't know how to fix it necessarily. Trent Noop, at Trent Noop, writer for Wolverine's Wire, and definitely go check out his Three Keys to Indiana. They're very, very good. They're actually the exact same three things that I would say. Does the lack of pass rush against MSU or lack of coverage worry you more? Lack of pass rush, by far. Because those things go hand in hand for the Michigan defense. And if you aren't making the quarterback uncomfortable, and because that, you know, I think that a lot of things that I don't think it's a huge downgrade per se. It is a downgrade, but I don't think it's a huge downgrade from some of the corners Michigan's had in the past to who they have now. But I think part of the difference is those other guys got home up front. So you need Aiden and Quitty to get home. You need that interior line to have push. They looked really good in the first half, the interior line did, first half against Minnesota, and they kind of disappeared since then. So you need to figure out how you're going to get some pressure, because if you get pressure on the quarterback, it doesn't really matter what the cornerbacks are doing comparatively. So I think that that's what's way more concerning to me right now. Jimmy Whitner at Jimmy Whitner 1. Do you think our secondary woes were due to close calls to pass interference earlier, or were we just that bad? I think that it was a big part of it. I think in the sense of what Harbaugh said, it made them play tentative. I think that that is accurate, because that they were trying to back off. So I think, you know, I think that that because I think that they were making those. I think they were holding, doing defensive holding. The thing is, on top of it, though, is they didn't need to. They were too insecure being new starters to rely on their technique. They just needed to rely on their technique and they'd be fine. But they were too insecure about it and were doing things that they shouldn't have been doing, and it made them tentative because they didn't want to hurt the team, and then they end up hurting the team in other ways. Not blaming them, just saying that that's how it goes. Number two, besides secondary, what area are you looking for improvement against Indiana? Well, it's the same thing I said to Trent Noop. Because the key to beating Indiana is stopping their offense less than scoring against their defense. So I would say that the front is the most important thing. Seeing Michigan get those sacks, getting those pressures, making Penix feel uncomfortable while containing him because he can use his legs. He hasn't really yet this year, but he can. But likewise, I think I would also like to just see the offense score so many points that it doesn't matter. That's why you have this offense built the way it is. You need to have the offense look more like it did in week one than it did again in week two. That is absolutely crucial. All right. Do you ever feel like you're always on? What do you do when you need a moment to chill? How would you like to hit the reset button and get ready for what's next? These days, everything's go, go, go. It's nothing but nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family, a million pressing social issues, and an expectation to be on 24/7. Sometimes you just need a moment to turn off and hit reset. That's when you reach for Coors Light, because it's made to chill. There's only one beer out there that's literally made to chill, and that's Coors Light. Listen, you guys know that I don't drink anymore, but when I did, Coors Light was my light beer of choice. I liked it above all the other ones. It's a mountain cold refreshment. It's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's literally made to chill. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. Perfect for a moment to unwind. So, again, Coors Light's the one I chose when I needed to unwind. So when you need to hit the reset button, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light, the new look delivered straight to your door. Get.coorslight.com. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. Second thing I have to tell you about is Built Bar. And you all know how much I love Built Bar. I know how much many of you love Built Bar. I don't know if you saw on Twitter today. Here's an endorsement. Mark Charbonnet, Zach Charbonnet's biological dad. He tweeted at me and said, "Hey, listen, I made the plunge. I got it, and it's incredible." I am telling you, that is like the 15th person that I've heard from, maybe more. Definitely not less, that have told me that they absolutely love Built Bar. They love the taste. They love the macros. They love everything about it. The flavors are phenomenal. Tastes like a candy bar. You don't need a whole bottle of water to wash it down. High in protein, low in carbs, low in sugar, low in calories. So I'm telling you, go to BuiltBar.com, put in promo code LOCKEDON, get 20% off of your next order. That's BuiltBar.com, promo code LOCKEDON, 20% off of your next order. All right, where are we at in time? We're actually doing pretty good, which is good, because we have a lot more questions to get to here. We'll start with AJK at AJK4M, 4UM, rather. Legitimately, what do you think Harbaugh's chance of turning this around this year and for the program? This year meaning they go on a run except OSU. The program meaning they eventually beat OSU once. I have no idea because I'm just like any of you. I'm blindsided by what happened on Saturday. I shouldn't say blindsided. I had that like gut feeling, the same feeling I had in 2018 against Ohio State. But even way less so did I think that it was possible, right? Like, I went into that 2018 Ohio State game being like, they're gonna lose this game. They're going to lose it. Predicted a win because that's what you do when you look at things on paper. You don't just go straight gut on those things. At least I don't. But I was like, they're gonna win. You know, they're going to lose that game. That's what I thought in my gut. That's how I felt all week about Michigan State. I was like, they're not going to be that bad. This means everything to their program. even though it's like, it doesn't make any sense. I just had that weird feeling that like Michigan's not going to win this game. And within like minutes, it was just like everything that I thought would happen kind of just did. So I can't really say that I know what's going to happen. I think you just got to take it one game at a time. And you just have to look. I mean, I'm as much of a big picture guy. I'm probably more of a big picture guy than most. I feel like most college football people are, what have you done for me lately? And what you have done for me lately is what you did for me last week. There are some exceptions. For some reason, James Franklin gets a pass because he beat Ohio State in 2016. Ever since then, James Franklin is like, oh, he's one of the greatest coaches out there. Michigan State didn't even get that same pass after beating them in 2015. It's really bizarre. But as far as Michigan is concerned, I still think it's on a good trajectory, but if Michigan goes out and lays an egg against Indiana, all bets are off. I mean, I think that they have everything they need, but you have to be able to go out there and win games like they did on Saturday. Great teams have inexplicable losses. We've seen it at Clemson, at Alabama, at Ohio State, LSU. We've seen it everywhere. LSU, not this year notwithstanding, of course. But they rebound, right? And they are limited to being one inexplicable game. So they just have to figure out how to kind of just get it together for Indiana and take it game by game. You kind of like the gauntlet in 2018. You beat Indiana. Your reward, hopefully, is to play Wisconsin the next week. Your reward after that is to play Rutgers the next week. Your reward after that is to play Penn State. Then your reward's in Maryland, and then your reward's Ohio State. Look at this rest of the season as a six-game gauntlet. It's what you got to do. Brad G at GRN Scheimer. I understand that Harbaugh felt he had to tone it down on the sidelines after 2016, but would you agree that the lack of enthusiasm he has on the sidelines now is transferring to the players? I feel like the team needs that fire now more than ever, especially with no fans. I've believed that ever since he toned it down. I understood why he did it, especially in 2017. I think he absolutely needs to go back to fiery Jim Harbaugh. I've been saying that for years now. Do it. Get lit. If you cost your team a penalty or two, whatever. Just the players need to feel that fire. I mean, I'm not watching the broadcast, so I don't see what he looks like. As far as this year, you know, the other years I see him on the sidelines because I'm down there. If he's still just kind of there, then that's not going to work. JT at Vaunted JT, why have the coaches used Joe Milton as a game manager with short to mid-range throws? Why won't they open up the offense with some shots down the field? Right where they're with you, brother. I said the same thing on the end zone. Listen, if Joe Milton, if his biggest thing is that he's got a strong arm and can make 70-yard throws, and I thought it was fine not using it in week one. Actually, I advocated that he doesn't. But we're going into week three. You got to use the weapons you have in your satchel. You have to. You cannot sit there and say, well, We're just going to try to dink and dunk. I thought they needed to use it there on the last drive. Like, I understand you're just trying to score, but like you need to score quick. So let's see that arm. You're going to need it against Ohio State regardless. You have to be able to connect on some deep throws. It usually takes a few weeks before you see it in a game. I know he can make those throws. Like I've told you, walking by practice, I've seen it. Yes, they need to figure out a way to do that. I don't get what the plan was last week. I understood what it was in week two. I'm not going to overreact to it because, again, week by week, the game plan was perfect offensively in week one. It was the worst I've ever seen in week two. And let's see what happens in week three. Spencer Whitmore at Spencer Whitmore. The entire week before the MSU game, I was pumped. 2 minutes in the game, I felt I knew what the outcome was going to be. Been a Michigan fan my entire life. No questions here. Just feels sad. Maybe we really are the Texas of the Big Ten, but at least we have Built Bars. They have Built Bars too, Texas. I think they're a step above Texas. But it's, I mean, Michigan is in dangerous territory of being that. But, like, it's funny when people say, like, oh, you know, it's too soon to say Michigan football's back. Michigan football has been back as far as out of the gutter. Texas is still struggling to, you know, be that New Year's Six type team. Michigan's been to a couple New Year's Six bowls now under Jim Harbaugh. And they've, you know, the ones that they haven't been in, they've only had one, like, lower tier bowl game so far. That was the Outback Bowl. But otherwise, I mean, Citrus Bowl twice. Then they had the two New Year's Six Bowls. So Michigan's back. I mean, Michigan's back to what it was under Lloyd Carr. This is the interesting thing that I pulled up when I was doing the Rich Rodriguez story. Because he said that, you know, this isn't a Jim Harbaugh problem. It's a Michigan problem. Under Bo Schembechler, because he talked about, like, just the Schembechler era people and stuff like that. So I was curious, like, what was Michigan's record? What was it under Bo, and what is it afterwards? Under Bo, in his 21 years of coaching, he had 11 double-digit wins. And keeping in mind that there were less games in his era. But he had 11 double-digit wins. In the 31 years since, Michigan's had 11 more. Straight up. Three of those have come under Jim Harbaugh. One from Brady Hoke, and seven from Lloyd Carr and Gary Moeller. I wonder if I still have that pulled up. I don't think I do. Actually, I do. So let's take a look at that real, real fast. So Gary Moeller, where am I looking? Okay, here we go. Gary Moeller had one 10-win season. Lloyd Carr had six. Rose Bowl, you know, the national championship year, 10-3, 10-2, then a couple of years off from it, 10-3, 10-3, and then 2006, 11-2. Other than that, so it's crazy because it's like you think that, like, you they make it sound like Jim Harbaugh has been just this absolutely terrible coach. When you hear 10-3, 10-3, 8-5, 10-3, 9-4, I mean, doesn't that sound like 10-3, 10-2, 9-3, 8-4, 10-3, 10-3? I know I gave you 6 years, but those are the years for Michigan football after the national championship under Lloyd Carr. Not that different. Not that different. Dan Walton at 3D Walton. Question one, what's the deal with the Bob Shoop news? It seems like a very bad-looking situation. Is there something else? All I know is it's a personal matter. I don't know anything other than that. It's not that he was fired. It's not that they let him go. I know there's a rumor that he got in a fight with another assistant. I've been told that that's not accurate, but that's from someone who knows someone who knows someone. So, number two, does the Indiana game show Don Brown's commitment to his scheme, or is this a week where he noticeably alters things to cover up weaknesses on the back end? I'm not talking about man versus zone, but rather getting out of press man alignment the majority of time. I hope so. I hope so. I don't know, but that's something that Jamie Morris brought up today. So I hope that's the case. Wolverine Devotee at Wolverine Devot 1. You see a change in the four-back system we're running. Georgia and Bama have had success in multi-back systems, but it seems like fans and potentially recruits looking at Edwards might not be digging it after the abysmal performance last weekend. Who's the top back now in your eyes? The top back in my eyes is Hassan Haskins. And, I mean, again, it's one game. If you have a game like week one where Charbonnet gets 70 yards, Haskins gets 80 yards, Milton gets 60 yards, you know, let's say another one gets like 30 or 40 yards or something like that, then you're right, you know, or and gets a touchdown, then you know what? It's fine. I know there are, especially in recruiting, there are some reactions to this Michigan-Michigan State game that have swung hard, like Prashan Benny. It sounds like from my conversations with some people deeper in recruiting, it sounds like he is Michigan State bound based off of that game alone. But you know what? You just gotta, if you rebound, then you hopefully stem the bleeding, essentially. Brian Hall at 15 BS Hall 97. Is the Michigan head coaching job still a good and desirable job? Of course it is. But it comes with a lot of different... It's not Ohio State. It's not Alabama. It's not Texas or USC, even. And one of the reasons why, as Rich Rod pointed out, is the difficulty in the academics part. But it's still a top two. It's a better job than, say, Penn State. And Penn State is a really good job. I think that more coaches would jump at Michigan than Penn State. But, I mean, again, I know he was an alum, but Jim Harbaugh came to Michigan when everyone said that couldn't happen. Yes, it is still a very good job. Baller at Baller 1740-0101. I normally don't include the people who don't normally ask questions in this segment, but I wanted to get to this before the break. Why is a former walk-on going to play if McGrone or Barrett can't play? There really isn't another four-star ready to go. Number one, it's only McGrone. Michael Barrett's backup is Anthony Solomon, who is a four-star from St. Thomas Aquinas in Fort Lauderdale. The backup, to McGrone, is Adam Shibley, who actually played pretty good when he was in there. Here's my response to that. If a former walk-on has earned their way into the two deep at Michigan, they've earned it. Have we not learned anything from any of the three Glasgow brothers? Have we not learned anything from Jordan Kovacs? You gotta take the star glasses off, man, and recognize that sometimes you're going to get a gem in a walk-on. I'm not saying that he's an NFL-bound guy, but he's earned his role. He played really, really well on special teams last year and made some big, big plays. The guy can play. So can Adam Fakih. Fakih. That's how you spell his last name. Fakih. So, I think you just need to take those stargazing glasses off and recognize that sometimes you're going to get some gems. You just are. Some of the best players in college football, former walk-ons. Some of the best players in the NFL are former walk-ons. Or lowly rated recruits. What was Khalil Mack? I don't know offhand, but I mean, I feel like Khalil Mack wasn't like some guy who was just like crazy, crazy good. I mean, he played at Buffalo. So, I mean, you figure he probably wasn't like this super high up rated dude. I'm looking it up right now just to kind of get an idea here. He was a two-star. He was a two-star. In 2009. 22-52. So get out of here with your stars. If the whole team was like walk-on types and stuff, then you got a point. But one guy is a backup, and that walked on, and you've got a problem with it. Get out of here, man. All right, we've got five or six more, seven more, or something like that. We'll get to you in a second. This whole time I realize I'm not on stereo, so apologies to those listening in mono. I don't know why it's recording in mono instead of stereo. But anyway, let's finish up. We're going to do this kind of as a rapid deal. We need to finish this up in about 7 minutes. So due to prior obligations, which means podcast stuff for tomorrow. Pay Galladay now at J_Borders. Any chance of scheme change in defense? Because they clearly don't have the personnel for man across the board. I said that before. We'll see. I don't know. I have no intel there, so I'm not going to pretend like I do. But hopefully that there is at least something worked out. But you don't want to wholeheartedly change scheme either. You hope you find a way to get help, but it's hard to be like, all right, hey, we're changing everything here from here on in. And because then you're going to have growing pains, guys playing tentative for different reasons. So I don't know what they'll do. Paul Bunyan podcast at Paul Bunyan pod. What did you think of Rich Rod's comments? I thought they were spot on. I've seen Michael Spath actually had asked the same question in this thread and then deleted it. But I saw it first and I'm going to say it. But he said something about like, oh, do you think they don't have a hard edge? Listen, I've been told by people close to the program that are no longer with the program, that's the difference between a Michigan and Ohio State to some degree, is that Ohio State gets guys that need football. And I've said that on this podcast before. Michigan doesn't have that. It has been more of a country club culture. It's not quite that anymore, but it's not fully swung. Pendulum hasn't swung all the way to the other end yet. You need more guys that they need football. Not just football is part of one of many things that I can do. Like me, I'm a dilettante. A lot of people that come to Michigan are also dilettantes, right? Academics are important, which is great, but they don't feel like a lot of the guys that they get, they're great kids, and that's a really huge testament to their character. But it is for a lot of them, it isn't like, if I don't make it in football, I don't know what I'm going to be able to do. And that's the difference of Michigan too, the academics of it. So I agree with all of that. And I agree that it isn't a Jim Harbaugh problem, and that there are, I think it's an Ohio State problem. Ultimately, aside from what happened this last week, ultimately that's because if Michigan would have beaten Ohio State just one of many of these years, a lot of these narratives we talk about don't exist. And they've been close twice. They just got to get over that hump. Number one, they need to keep it close, and then they need to finish the job. Cool Breeze at KBreeze 15. Why does the staff think that they need to play everyone on the roster at skill positions? Put your best players in the field and let them play. Why do we do this? I think they overthink, and I think they get too cute. I think that's just what it is. I think they overthink when you've got better players than the majority of the teams you play. You should just be able to line up and say, do what you do best and win. But they try to get too smart, too cute. I think that's what it is. Hothead 42 at hot_head42. Why are they so disappointing year after year? I don't know, man. I don't have an answer to you. It's been close, but it is what it is. And especially when you know, Ohio State's the biggest problem. I just think they overestimated Michigan State, or underestimated Michigan State rather. Spencer Pulliam at Spence Things Up. Is Joe Milton truly the savior? 15-yard passes have been less than productive. I understand it may not be his fault. Play calling and blocking go into account. Secondly, should Joe look to use his feet more? He was not a true run threat until the end of the game when MSU dropped to prevent. Second thing, absolutely. Please use your feet more. Pull the ball and run. Just do it. Coaches say just hand it off. Pull the ball and run if you know that the run is there. And I think that they just haven't been really trying to do much of the 15-plus yard passes. I know the blocking has played a part into it. MSU did a really good job of taking them away. But I don't think that we've seen him really try to go deep. Like, earnestly. Cat Mamble at Camby_Matt. Do we have to play Ohio State? Possibly. Who knows what... daily cases are up. Setting records all over the country in COVID. So, maybe not. But maybe. Finishing us out, Paul at PP_26_1. How can we recover from a recruiting standpoint after Saturday's loss? Do you think a McCarthy decommitment might happen if the season goes south and Harbaugh's job is in limbo? I don't on McCarthy. I think he is solid, as solid can be. Recruiting? Do what you did in week one. Not everything goes away, but a lot of it does. Do what you did in week one. You're right back on track. That's all we have time for. We'll be back tomorrow morning with a preview show with Brandon Justice and Connor Hitchcock from Homefield. So stay tuned for that. We'll talk to you soon. Thanks for listening. Peace.